strengthen, even to expand somebody here, God, today. Pray for my brother, lost his job, for Ella's brother, lost his job. I ask you, Lord, that, God, you'll be Lord to them and that you'll show them and be the resource that they need in their life. God, for each one of us here today, may you shine mightily upon their lives. Give them peace, give them joy, give them strength in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you want to look in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read a verse out of it and just share a couple other verses this morning. I want to encourage you to simplify Christmas this year, not making it less important, but placing an emphasis on what the greater meaning and what the more lasting value is for your life, and not get lost in the whirlwind of things that our culture wants to create at this time. This is the day when John 3:16 is fulfilled. For God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world. This is the day in the moment that can change everything in our lives. And you can get caught up in the semantics of, well, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th. He was born here. And you can get drowned in all that. But don't lose from the perspective, he came. He was born. He came through a virgin. He was born half humanity, half divinity. He gave his life. He shed his blood on the cross for you and for I. Don't ever forget that. Come on today. This is what is important. And we can lose and forego the level of importance that this season has for us. I love pictures. You know, I talk about family all the time. And I love to get the family together and get a picture together with all the kids and the grandkids. It gets harder as the years go by. I got to pull out the big guns, their mom, because when she says, we're getting a picture, they all say, yes, ma'am. When I say, we're getting a picture, they say, someday. So we try to do that, but I have pictures all over the house of this time of the year. I have them on my desk at home. I probably have 15 different pictures over the years of us getting our picture taken together when the kids, before they were even married, and then when Ben and Amanda first got married, or got one in our living room of Ben holding Gabe. He's just a little baby. To me, Gabe still is a little baby until he stands up next to me. Now I'm looking eyeball to eyeball with him. But what I do, and I look at those times and I think those were great pictures, but I forget sometimes the importance of the time that they were taken and where we were in life. Some of the things that were going on maybe at the time were good for me to let go, but other times the importance, the level of importance of having family together, being with friends and experiencing some of the great things that God did, I forget about those things. And that sometimes is what happens at Christmas time, that we allow that year to go by and it comes up and we have a tendency to forget what happened around this event, and we allow our culture that we are living in to dilute the importance of what has really happened. And so, and I want to talk to you about that just for a couple moments this morning, about really learning to simplify. And one of the first things we have to do is not be so busy. And this is a curse on our culture today, that we forget who we're celebrating and why. The season is about Jesus and him only and what he has done. And I don't care what government says you can't have a nativity scene, what school says you can't sing any songs that have Jesus or our Savior in it. He's still Lord. He's still the one that we're celebrating, and the church above everything else. We can't wait on the government to tell us what we can sing or what we can't sing. And that doesn't mean that the government's bad. We are the church. And we're called to celebrate him. And sometimes we get so busy. The innkeeper in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says that she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for him. And I wonder if that innkeeper, if he was in retrospect, if he could look back, if he would have made that same decision. He was at that point allowing people in and out of the inn all the time. But when the people that came who had given birth to the Son of the living God came, he said, I don't have room. And I want you to really look at your life and your family today. Have you made room for him in your life? Or are you so busy with everything else that you have put a level of importance on that you have put him out? and you let him become last in everything and all that you do. He had no idea what this couple was carrying. And the innkeeper, if he had known who was coming, he would have gotten past people that were coming in and out. It was an important time of the year. A census was being taken. There were people everywhere. But the Son of the Living God was coming at that moment for all to see and for him to change the lives in everyone. We put him out sometimes in moments in our lives when we're so busy and we forget that he has come to be a part of our lives. And we have taken him out so we can celebrate Christmas for ourselves. But we forget about the very one who came that we're supposed to be celebrating for. Come on, amen, this morning. We're busy with so many things and we miss what he is saying to us, that he wants to come and he wants to stay and live inside of us. He wants to come and stay. And can I just tell you this up front? He wants to have a place in your life, and not just a place. He wants your whole life. He wants to come in and you make room for him so he can have influence in every area of your life. Don't be so busy that you miss your meeting with God. And simplifying Christmas also means that we can't allow our culture or everything else to lose its significance of what Christmas really is about. We can lose the awe. We have heard it all before. Some, you know, people say, well, I've heard that before. I've seen that before. And it's almost like you can't pull another trick out of your hat to impress me. And you know what? I'm not here to impress anyone, and neither is Jesus. What he did once and for all. And if you and I ever lose the awe or the wonder of that, we have missed everything that he has ever come for. And I want to encourage you, don't get bored with him. Don't get so familiar. Don't become jaded where it just becomes another day and it becomes another season. And you lose what the excitement is really all about. That's why I love to hang around kids at this time of the year. Because kids, they're wild. They see Christmas trees and lights and they're like, oh, wow, look at that. That is so exciting. I love that. And it just warms my heart and it reminds me of what I should be. Not mesmerized by the lights, but by the one who came and broke darkness and came in the form of light. Amen. We can miss the king of our lives when we lose the wonder of who he really is. And can I encourage you to simplify your Christmas by not minimizing what the season is about, but to see who this child is and why and who he's come for, that he has come to redeem you and I. I mean, we're buying gifts, we're sending cards, we're putting up lights, and we're living in the dark sometimes. Ephesians 4:18 says, their minds are in the dark, and they are stubborn, so they have missed out on the life that comes from God. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss what he has planned for me. Don't allow time, issues, cultures, and even worse yet, lose the significance of what this season is really about. Let's not forget that Christmas is about Jesus and about Jesus only. And the third, if you're going to simplify Christmas, it means not letting fear influence your Christmas. And I know this is a tough time for some people. And that is why some people fight it. And they reject it so much because of the possibilities of its influence in their lives. People are afraid sometimes to come to church. People, Christians, are afraid to hand somebody this card because they're afraid what they may say to them. Can I encourage you to move past that today? Can I encourage you to move past the fear today? Can I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and embrace the power and the Spirit of the living God to flow through you and to do something mighty? Can I encourage you today that God wants to dilute your fears and he wants to push you from the place of living in fear into the place of knowing he is the one who destroyed the power of fear in your life? Can I encourage you today to take that step in the direction to Jesus today and know that he is the one that brought light into darkness, that he dispelled the power of sin and sickness off of your life, and he has come to bring you hope, healing, and the deliverance that you and I both need. He has come to help you. He has come to get you out of the hang up. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around today. But for some of you, this is only a reminder of a difficult time in your life. And the Bible says that you need to push past that fear and let God have his way in your life. Today I was meditating on this last night, and this old verse to this old song, this hymn came to me. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me on. Come on today. You don't have to let fear grab your life. You can stand up against it and let the power of Jesus lift you out and beyond that. You don't have to be afraid when you embrace the risen Savior and allow him to eradicate every fear in your life. You'll have freedom. You'll see light, and you'll have peace like you have never had before. He's come to save us. He has come to heal us. He has come to restore us. He has come to bring deliverance to those who are captive and held in bondage over some type of habit or some type of past or some type of failure. He's powerful enough to deliver you from that today. You don't have to let that define who you are. You let Jesus define who you are. Come on, I don't know about it. I'm preaching right now unless you didn't catch that. He has got the power to lift you out of that today. And don't allow all the stuff and the fear, what you are living with, hold you from really embracing everything that he has for you. Oh, he wants to make this time of the year so significant for you. So how can I simplify it? By stopping filling my life up with the unimportant things. You got to quit just grabbing everything you can to make yourself happy. Somebody put a picture up. I saw it on the news this week where some woman bought, she had a Christmas tree in the corner, and it looked like a mountain of gifts wrapped, and people had all kinds of kind of, listen, I don't care. Buy all the presents you want as long as you don't put your hope in the presents, because those things are not going to be what is going to eventually fulfill your life. Jesus is the one that can do that. He can do that in one moment in your life today. He can do that in here. I love presents. I love gifts. I love giving. I'm a giving machine. If you hang around me, you're going to get blessed. I love to give. I live to give. I can't outgive the power of my giving. I can't do it. I turn around, the blessing just comes over my life. I'm not joking with you. God, he brings a blessing into my life in every moment that I turn around. When I give, it doesn't matter where or how I give, he brings back that blessing over my life. I want to encourage you today. Don't fill your life up with stuff. Be a giver. Be a somebody that's going to sow. Be somebody that's going to give. Be somebody that's reminded that this time of year, the activity is not accomplishment, that you need to stop being so busy with things that are not important in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I love this verse in Psalm 39:6. It said, we are merely moving shadows, and all of our busy rushing ends in nothing. Look at this last part of it. It says, we heap up wealth and we don't even know who's going to spend it. I love that verse. You need to look at that again. We heap up wealth and we don't even know who's going to spend it. Come on, be careful today about what you're filling your life up with. Proverbs 10:27 says, reverence for God adds hours to your day. Some people say, well, I'm just too busy for God. I got to do this, and I got to go here, and I got to go there. And none of those things yield anything back in return. But when you're honoring the Lord, the Bible says he'll add hours to your day. Oh, hallelujah. You ought to write that down somewhere. You got to stop. You got to look. Why did he come for me? Did he really come for me? Yes, he did. He came for the least. He came for the lost. He came for whosoever will. Jeremiah 29:13 says, God said, you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You're going to find him. He's not hiding somewhere. All you got to do is trust him with your life. And if you seek him, you're going to find him. You're going to know he is the God that can do above and beyond what you could ask or even think with your life. He has come. Matthew 1:21, he come to save his people from their sin. And then lastly, you got to listen. You got to listen to the good news of Christmas. It's good news. Come on today. The angel, Luke 10:2-10 said, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Everybody say everybody. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He has come. Come on today to bring you and I great news. What is that news? John 10:10, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, but God said, I've come to bring you life and to bring it to you in an abundant. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved. Do you know that he has come into this world to make a difference in your life and in your life in particular? Oh, I'm so thankful to be here today in the house of God. I'm so thankful to be with every one of you because he is intended to change your life today. As I was praying over this morning and I was just trusting God and believing in this, I just so felt in my heart and my spirit that this was a moment, this was a season for some of you that at this time of the year, you live in a darkness. It's like you're in a closet and there's no light on. And I just sensed the Lord said, I'm going to bring you up out of that. I'm going to lift you out of that this time of the year. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me this morning. I want to believe God with you for something great. I want the prayer team to come on down to the front. And I want you to know, prayer team, when you begin to pray over people today, I want you to know there's going to be an anointing that flows out of you like you haven't experienced heretofore. There's a power right now in this house that is able to deliver, to set free. Some of you, as Ryan said earlier, he's going to restore some things to you. He's going to help you. He was talking about that ride that we were on. You know what the essence of that was? Is they were saying, Ryan was kidding, it's going to twirl up in the air and it's going to be scary. The reality of it is nothing happened. Some of you, you're worried about something that either somebody has told you, the enemy's told you, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. That's just a figment. That's just the enemy whispering in your ear lies. You're not going to have any peace and no joy. You're not going to be with anybody. Some of you are sitting right in here right now and you're saying, I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody to be with. Can I tell you today? Look around. Not now. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You got friends everywhere. You got people that love you. You're not going to go through this season alone. You're going to go with it with other people. Don't minimize what God wants to do right now. Some of you have never responded to a time coming to the altar and pray. You say, I've tried it before, nothing changes. You've allowed it to become familiar, and you have forgotten and forsaken the power of God's Holy Spirit, what he can do. You're looking for a feeling, and forget about the feeling. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a minute. When I got married and we went through the ceremony and everything, and I'll never forget, we went away. I woke up the next day and I looked over and, whoa, I was a little nervous. Somebody was laying next to me. I wasn't used to that. But I didn't, it wasn't like, I had this new feeling come over me. Now you're a married man. But I'll tell you what, over a few weeks, a few months, in a few years, then I knew what it was like. And for some of you, it's the same thing. You're waiting for sparks to fly out of heaven and for a feeling to come over your life. And if it doesn't come, you walk away discouraged. But that's not what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's evidence of things not yet seen. God wants to do a work in your life this morning, whether you feel it or not, whether you see it or not. He's at work, whether or not you believe it or not. He's at work in your life right now, even while I'm speaking this morning. He's doing something in your life. You know what he's looking for? You to just respond and say yes. In fact, I just feel this so strongly in my heart. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'm going to close. But if that's you that I'm talking to this morning, I want you to get up out of your seat right now. And I want you to just make your way down to the altar because God's going to do something in you. God, he does something in a powerful and a particular way when individuals will abandon their fear and what they think somebody else may think. And they just step out on faith and they do what they've never done before. Some of you have never given your heart to Christ. You need to do that today. What a beautiful time of the year. What a Christmas present you'll get. And give your life to Christ. Say, yes, Jesus, I want you to live inside of me. If that's you, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to make your way down here right now. I'm going to close in prayer in just a moment. You can come after that, but why not just be bold right now? If you really mean business with God, just get up out of your seat and move in this direction right now. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for my brothers and my sisters, my friends that are here today. Even while I'm praying, I want you to make your way down here. God, I pray your strength upon their lives. I pray restoration. I sense there's a family that has been disconnected. That's the best way I can describe it. You've been disconnected. You're together, but you're disconnected. He wants to take that divide out of your family, out of your lives, and bring you together. Maybe for some of you, maybe there's a husband and wife. God just wants to bring you closer. This is a moment, this is a time of year where God can do that. Hallelujah. Man, I feel that. I feel that in my life. Sir, you're the head of your household. You take that first step this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who have been dealing with addictions, Lord, that this will not be an open door in this season, but this will be a door that closes forever. And God, there'll be freedom and strength. And God, no matter what that addiction means to that person, that this is the day where it all ends here. Oh, Father, I give you thanks. I pray blessing over your people, over your church, over their lives, their families, God, whatever they lay their hand to. Blessed, I pray, as they serve you and honor you with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you so much. God bless you. If you need prayer, come on down.